As last week we started, chapter 4, verse 1, we got up through about verse 14, looking at the soils of the heart. So today we're going to continue on the soils of the heart, part 2. And why don't we start reading together in verse 13 to give a little run and go and get some background. Notice he says, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? Then how then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, and when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns, and they are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in, choking the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Soils of the heart. Last week we started looking at this parable of the soils. And remember, it started there in verse 1. We read through and the Lord talked about the different hearts and we compared them to soils because that's how the Lord did it. He's now going to explain it today that it is by soils and he's going to tell us the meaning. Now, it's interesting. There's something to note before we jump into this parable. And that is there in verse 13. Notice he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Now, remember, the disciples were struggling to understand. And so the Lord said to them, hey, if you don't get this one, you're going to have a big time trouble with all the rest of them. And what does he mean by that? Well, what we see in this particular parable is the Lord is saying there is a key built into this parable to help us understand the other parables. Mark, what do you mean a key built in? That is, there are certain symbols and types that are used consistently throughout Scripture. We talked about it last week, expositional constancy. That is, as you expose the Word of God, God is constant in that exposition, and he uses the same types, the same symbols to mean the same thing. And really, a rather ingenious and logical way to write his word because it keeps us from being confused. So we're going to find out today what these symbols mean. And what that means is whenever we come to other parables in the Bible, we can take the symbols that the Lord has given us and explain what they mean and plug them in somewhere else. I'll give you an example. One of the parables talks about the church becoming like a great tree that grows and its branches fill the earth. And it says, then the birds of the air nest in its branches. There have been those that have wrongfully taught that means that the church is going to fill the earth and everybody's going to come under its shade. Well, we've seen that's not the case. The church has filled the earth. That's true. But it has not brought everyone under its shade as a place of rest because many people reject the gospel. And as a matter of fact, most people reject the gospel. The simple reason that parable is misunderstood is because they don't understand the keys that the Lord has given us in this parable. And that is this. The birds of the air we're going to see today, for example, represent Satan and the demonic realm. And when that parable is given of the church spreading around the world and the trees nesting in its branches, what it's saying is you're going to have a lot of demonic activity and demonic oppression even within the church. All around the world. So it gives us a whole different understanding of what the parables mean and what the Lord is saying. So this is key to grasp. This is your key to enter the doorway of the rest of the parables, if you will. And so this will be good information as we look at the symbolism today. Now, again, in the parable, Jesus teaches, as we said, that the heart of man is like soil. Some is good, some is bad. And depending on the type of soil a person has, it will determine the result that the Word of God has in their life. If it's bad soil, you won't see fruit in their life. If it's medium soil, you might see some. If it's great soil, you're going to see a great crop come out of that person's life. And lest you despair, I believe that God can change the soil of a man's heart. We're going to pray for that before we're done for today. But also, if you remember, last week we revealed there were four different types of soils, the soils of the heart. And in case you didn't jot them down, or just for a reminder, I want to touch on them again today because we're going to look at each one of them individually. Now, the first one is the hardened and impenetrable heart or soil. The second one is the emotional and shallow soil. The third one is the interested but double-minded soil. And the last one is the fertile and rich soil which receives and responds. And so now let's look at each one of them individually, starting in verse 13 again. This will give us a run and go. Notice he says, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? Well, how then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. So now he identifies seed. Whenever seed is used as an example in Scripture, oftentimes these things are literal, but when they're not literal and they're being used in a spiritual sense, we know that in this particular case, the seed means the Word of God. right now, as we read through the Word of God, it's like one of those spreaders. You ever seen those spreaders? You go in the yard and it throws the seeds out. As I was reading through this chapter, it was seeds were flying out in this room like this. Some of it was landing in places that didn't do any good. Some of it was landing in places that did do good. Some of you probably got ministered to so much from me just reading it, you could have said, you know what, we could go now and I've heard from the Lord. And so God works by His Word. The seed itself has the power. It's not that the seed is lacking. When you share with someone and you put that seed of God's Word out there, it's not that the seed lacks the power. It's the soil of the heart that can't receive it oftentimes. And so we see here this seed, and He says again, verse 15, and these are the ones by the wayside. Note that word. That's key there. Where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And now we come to the first type of soil here. That is the soil that is hard and impenetrable. It is the seed that fell by the wayside. Now we need some understanding of that day to understand what the wayside is. Probably some of you who have been farmers already can figure out what it is. But when you work on land, you have to have walkways. And they would travel between cities, and there were fields everywhere. Everyone was working in agriculture. It was an agrarian society, as we talked about. So you had what was called the wayside, and that is you would have paths that were beaten down and hardened because that's where everybody walked. You wouldn't want to walk through someone's crop and right through someone's field. So you'd go down the wayside if you were traveling from town to town. And also, if you had to go down between the furrows and work in the garden, you'd also have those areas that were beaten down and hardened so you could walk on them. And this is the first one that He's talking about, the first type of heart, this hardened and impenetrable heart. It's the one that is constantly walked on, and because it's constantly walked on, has become hardened. Now, there are a couple of reasons, I believe, for this type of heart. Number one, first of all, there are some who have been so walked on in life, beaten down and hardened, it's hard for them to receive the Word of God and God's love. And some of you may be here that way this morning. You know, your whole life you've been beaten down, and it might be that you didn't start out really upset with the Lord or hardened against the things of God. You really just kind of were just beaten down. I hear stories that it amazes me of how many people have gone through abuse as children, you know, and maybe you've been one of those that was abused as a child. And now you're older and your heart has been so hardened and so beaten down that when someone tells you God is love and God loves you, your thought is, how could that be? After all what I went through, how could that be? And you don't understand that God didn't do that. It wasn't God that did that. It was man and the devil that did that. And sometimes we get confused and we think, well, God didn't. No, God didn't do it. God didn't want that to happen. That's why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die so we could be forgiven and restored. But what happens is the person is so walked on and is so beaten down that they become hardened. And rather than letting it drive them to God, they allow it to harden their hearts. Now, this type of person, I believe, needs our understanding, our compassion, and our sympathy as we try to reach them. So you have to recognize, what kind of soil am I dealing with? This is to give us insight when we're sharing the Word of God. Is this a hardened heart? You know, if the heart is so hard, you know that you need to be compassionate and just say, you know what? I know you've been through a lot. I can't really understand all you've been through, but I know that God loves you. And if you'll ask Him to soften your heart and to reveal Himself to you, He'll do that. And so we show compassion and grace to that kind of person. But there's another one here that I want to talk about that also falls under this hard and impenetrable heart in this category. And this is the person that has not been walked on or trampled themselves, but they have done the walking on and the trampling. And that is, they are the mocker. They are the one who says, oh, that Jesus stuff. Don't give me that religion, man. Don't throw that stuff my way. And they trample on the Word of God. They trample on the seed. They trample on the ground. And what happens? Over the years, they get harder and harder and harder. Now, this is an entirely different animal here. Because again, it's not that they ever wanted the truth. They just want to mock God. And so it's a different story, but we need to show them compassion as well. And so the question is, what if the person's heart is hard for whatever the reason? What do we do? Listen, maybe you've been throwing seeds out there and they're not responding to that seed. And you're going, why aren't you responding to the seeds? Because their heart is too hard. The ground is beaten down. You can share with them day in, day out. You can leave the notes on the fridge. You can send the emails. You can do all the trick things. They lift the toilet lid up. Ah, you know, there's a scripture there, you know, sticky to the back or whatever. You can do all this stuff, and here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. They're not going to get it until their heart's softened. So what do we do, believer? Here's what we do. When we come across that kind of person, pray for God to break up the ground. Lord, get out the spiritual rototill and break it up. It's time to get it where they can receive seed. You know what's interesting? A lot of times, it's when the seed is broken up, or it's when these hearts are broken up, it's necessary to receive the seed for it to be broken up. So God will allow breaking in the life. I spoke with someone last night on the phone who said they had someone call them that their heart was so hard toward the things of God. It's been hard for all these years. And something has just happened in their life that has broken up that ground. And for the first time, the ground is being broken up. And now they're calling someone that they know loves God and honors God. And you can see what God is doing. God is making the ground ready so that now that seed can get in. Because if it doesn't get in, it's not going to work. So here's on round one, the hard and impenetrable heart. The answer is yes, you share. But once you find out the heart is hard, you pray. Because you've got to break through that hard heart before they're ever going to receive any of the seed that you have to give them. Now, it is interesting here. The Lord goes on and says about this particular parable. He says that the seed is spread. Notice that. And he says the birds come and eat it up. He identifies the birds here from earlier in the chapter as Satan and the demonic realm now. He says this is the enemy. This is Satan and the demonic realm. And it is interesting to note that birds have wings and their abode is in the air, just like the demonic realm. I'm not saying that birds are demonic, although I do think I've seen some blackbirds that are. But anyway, besides that, the bottom line is not saying that birds are demonic, but it's a great example. The angels, they have wings. They live in the heavenly realm. And he's saying these represent the demonic realm, Satan and the demonic. And when this hard ground is around, then it doesn't take them any time to snag it. See, here's what happens with a hardened heart. If you're here today and you have a hardened heart, right now the seed is landing, but you know what? It's only going to lay there until you get out that door. And already you start saying, you know what? This guy, what is this about? I shouldn't have come today. Why did I even come? And if I say something like this, Jesus said, no one goes to the Father except by him, which means all other spiritual leaders and religions are wrong except for Jesus Christ. I can guarantee you that's not going to penetrate. Because the enemy's going to start saying things like, well, wait a minute, what about all these other religions? And wait a minute, what about all these other things? And this couldn't be right. And then Satan's right there saying that. And the person's going, yeah, that's right. These people are just narrow-minded and bigoted and they're this. See, you've got a hardened heart. And it can't penetrate. It can't go in. And so what happens is Satan is waiting for that. The moment you walk out this door, he's waiting to go, got it. Oh, that's not true. Don't believe that. Get away. Don't go back there, man, or anywhere else. And so you walk out of here beaten down and hardened. And there's no progress anywhere. It's a dangerous place to be. But again, we're going to show you that before we're done, there's a chance for those that are in that place. And again, the way we reach a person like this is only through prayer. That's the first one by the wayside. Now he comes to the next one. Notice verse 16. He said, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves. And they so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises, note this, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, again, notice this. The second type of person is the emotional but shallow. They're the person that's easily swayed. You know, if you have somebody in the background that can hit a few chords on the organ ever so often during the service, they're right there, you know. Jesus loves you. Oh, yeah, he loves me. And they're being stirred by their different emotions or whatever the emotion might be. And you might even be able to get them so emotional that they're drawn in. I want this. This is great. I'm excited. But the problem is there's no depth to their commitment. It's simply a shallow surface emotional thing that they get all excited about, but there's no depth to it. And because there's no depth to it, it doesn't last. I mean, they go to work and they hear people say things. Oh, look at Mr. Righteous, Mr. Holier Than Thou, Mr. I Believe the Bible Now. And they say, well, you know, you guys don't, I mean, yeah, I went to church and all, but you know, you don't. And they start becoming an outcast and they don't like it. And so what do? It gets a little bit hot. Remember the Lord said in the example, the sun comes up and scorches it and it dwindles away. Why? There's no depth. It was all emotion. There was no real commitment. And how many people have come forward on an altar call based on emotion? Maybe a very emotional song or maybe a very emotional teaching or a very emotional moment. And I'm not against that. I love emotions. God's made us as people of emotions. But if it stops at the level of emotion, you will never have that salvation conversion and the fruit needed for a true follower of Jesus Christ. You've heard me say it before. It doesn't matter how high you jump. It's how straight you walk when you land. And so again, the bottom line is on this one is there's got to be that rooting there. There's got to be that solidness, that solidity. And so he says they fall away because of the heat. Notice he comes to the next one. Now, these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Now, this is the third category. Notice it's the interested but double-minded person. That is, they want the word of God, but they're double-minded in that I want God's word, but I also want the world. And I want everything the world has to offer. Now, the Bible says God has given us all things richly to enjoy. So we can enjoy the world. There's nothing wrong in that. But it's the desire to really have the things of the world and really focus on the things of the world that pulls this person down. That is, they receive the message, they receive it in their heart, but they love the things of the world so much that the word can't mature. And so there's no fruit. It's choked out. And I have to say that although the church falls in the fourth category of the righteous, you know, the soil that, can be reached and all, I believe that oftentimes the third category grows into the fourth. That is, the weeds reach over. I think one of the greatest concerns for the church, and I know from my life, is that the weeds of the world can come in and begin to choke out the fruitfulness. And it's something that we need to be aware of. You know, it's amazing how quickly I can get sidetracked with the things of the world that choke out the things of the Spirit. And I think that many of us go through times of unfruitfulness because of that. We find out that we're not really walking with God the way we used to walk with Him. And now we're allowing all the things of the world to come in. And it's not that we don't love God still. It's not that we don't want God to work, but there's these other things that are choking. And we don't have room for God. And I think the problem is we oftentimes enjoy our freedom so much that we forget the primary call in our life. And that is to keep God first and to serve Him above all things. And notice first what it says about them. It says they are choked out by the cares of this world. Now, this speaks of the person who is always so worried about where they're going to live, what they're going to eat, and anything else they can worry about that they don't trust in God. It's like, you know, I got the bills coming up, and I've got this, and I've got that. Listen, we need to be worried. We need to be concerned anyway. I mean, if we have bills, we need to be taking care of them. We need to be getting jobs. We need to be working. We need to be paying our things. There's nothing wrong with that. It's being responsible. But at the same time, what God is saying is we shouldn't be consumed with worry. We do our best, and then we commit the rest. Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm going to go do my best, and then I'm going to trust in you. And God promises in His word, He will provide. Isn't that interesting? God says, I will provide. You know, seek first the kingdom of God. What did the Lord say? And all these things will be added. And so the word of God comes with a promise. And note this, believer, the word of God comes with a promise that God will take care of our needs. Now, all of us go through times of difficulty, all of us. And that doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong necessarily. We just go through different struggles, whatever the case might be, whether it be national economy or whether it be personal economy. We all go through hard times. But Jesus has given us a promise, and we need to cling on to this. If we keep Him first, He guarantees that all of our, note this, needs will be met, not necessarily our wants. David said this, I have yet to see the righteous beg bread. The righteous don't beg bread. Why? Because the righteous are trusting in God and He's providing. Now, the righteous sometimes have hard times, don't they? It doesn't say they don't have hard times. It doesn't say the righteous are sometimes concerned because the bills aren't paid. I've been there. But what it says is if we keep our eyes on the Lord and we do our part, He promises to do His. And I love that about our God. And so the cares of the world deals with that type of person. Next, notice also it says it's also choked out. Again, that chokes out the fruitfulness of the Spirit. But notice next, he says it's also choked out by the deceitfulness of riches. And notice the word deceitfulness. Riches are truly deceitful. Now, let me say right off the bat, there's nothing wrong with riches if you've got them. That can be a blessing of the Lord. You shouldn't feel guilty if you're a wealthy person. God has blessed you. There's no guilt in that. But you need to be wise with how you use that money. You need to make sure that you're honoring the Lord. And you need to make sure that you're not looking to that money or desiring that money as your first and foremost desire. Because if it is, then now you have a new God and it's mammon. And so the riches can be deceitful. We think that riches will make us happy. You know, we went to the beach a couple of weeks ago, and it's a real beautiful area down there in Rosemary Beach, and we stayed in a condo down there right next to the pool. They had the owners of the condo had a couple of beautiful bikes, a really nice, beautiful, expensive bikes, cruiser-type bikes that you kind of, I mean, they just ride smooth. That's all I'm going to say. I ride bikes, and these things were like Cadillacs, all right? So we'd go riding on those bikes, and the roads around there were like, not really cobblestone, but like these square red stone or whatever, almost like cobblestone, but not very quaint. In the evening when it got dark, they had all these gas lamps that were burning and these beautiful buildings and the architecture, and it was just truly enchanting. They had a little shop, you know, little coffee shops and little restaurants, and you're just like, man, I almost felt like it was in Germany or something. They're riding around through there in some of these quaint little towns that are overseas and stuff. And I remember riding that bike and just thinking to myself, the thought came in, man, I could live this way, you know? Do I really need to go back? I mean, they'll find another pastor, you know? And I talked to one guy standing out there at the pool, and he said, and he was like a college kid. You know, this kind of kid you just kind of want to kill when he says this. But he said, yeah, I came down, you know, for 1 week and ended up staying 3 months now. So I'm like, oh, you know, how'd you do that? Because you're a college kid with no life yet. You can do that. But we get to the point where we can't, you know? We just want that week we can finally get away, don't we? But I realized as I was thinking that, yes, this is nice. And you know what? For those who have that, it's not sinful to be able to afford that. It's not wrong. There's nothing wrong in that. It's a blessing of the Lord. But to seek that as your ultimate goal and leave the things of God behind, it chokes out the life of the Spirit. And there's a temptation to go, you know what? I could just, you know, kind of, you could do like, I don't know, something extra job. But you know, you got to be careful. because it can choke out what God really wants to do. It's not the focus. The focus is the Lord and the things of God. And we need to guard ourselves because riches are deceitful. They will not make us happy. Isn't it interesting? You know, we weren't happy before in the world, and we're not going to be happy afterwards if we go after riches. And so God's word is, again, warning us on that. Lastly, notice here he says the other category, the thing that's with this person. Lastly, he says that they have desires for other things. And this is interesting to me. This also chokes out the spirit. But the wording here, when you study the language, there's a greater revealing here. Literally, it's speaking of sensual pleasures. You see, what it's saying is, as you seek after the riches, you've got a lot of funds in your hands. And if you get those funds, and even if you don't get the riches, it's the type of person that is now going to be focusing in on the sensual pleasures. And that is looking for physical pleasure in some way to take the place of God. This is where Solomon messed up. He got so wrapped up in the physical pleasures that he became useless for God. He became unfruitful. And not only did he become unfruitful, he actually became sinful. Now, again, there's nothing wrong in the physical pleasures in their proper place and done in the proper way. But when they become the main focal point, it will squelch out everything to do with the Spirit. And so these weeds come in and they choke out the life of the believer. And now he comes to the last and final one. Notice he says, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now the last group are those who not only accept and receive God's word, but note this, they have good enough soil for the seed not only to grow, but to remain and produce fruit. That is, the soil is not only fertile, but they don't allow the weeds to choke it out. You see, the weeds try to reach in from category 3 all the time, right? And we've got to watch those weeds. And we've got to make sure they don't choke out the fruit that God is doing in their life or in our life. They are those who have the fertile and rich soil, who receive God's word and respond to it. Hopefully that is you today. Now notice their characteristics. First of all, they hear the word. That is, they really listen to what God is saying to their heart. They don't just read it. They don't just brush by it. They listen. What is God saying? God, I'm open. What are you saying to me? Whether it's hard or whether it's easy, I receive it. Let it have its purpose. So they listen. Secondly, they accept the word of God. That is, they don't just hear it, they receive it. And there's a big difference in just hearing God's word and receiving God's word. And notice this, the result of hearing and receiving God's word, the Lord said here in verse 20 is they will bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. That is amazing. That's 30 to 1, 60 to 1, and 100 to 1. Back then, they considered 10 to 1 a good crop. So what the Lord is saying is, the fruit in the Spirit will so outweigh any fruit that you can get from investing in this world if you'll just allow God to work in your life and do that. It's powerful. And so the soil needs to be tilled, the soil needs to be worked, and then the fruit is brought about if we have the right kind of soil. Now, what is it that determines whether it will be 30, 60, or 100-fold fruit if we have the right kind of soil? Well, I think there's a couple of things. Number one, it depends first on the heart, really having a heart for the things of God. And secondly, it depends on God's grace and the gifts that are given. You know, some people are given greater measures of grace than others. I look at myself and I remember reading this thing and, Lord, I'm probably a 30-fold. You know, if I'm anywhere in there, it sounds funny to say 30-fold because that seems like more than I see my life producing. But God only gave us those options. So I went to 30 and I said 30-fold. But I see guys that I think are probably 100-fold. And I think, Lord, you know, is it a greater measure of grace or is that something you can do in my life as well? I think it's both. I think some have a greater measure of grace, and because of that greater measure of grace, they produce more fruit. I think of Paul, who God used to write what most of the New Testament. There was a great measure of grace. Paul said, look, I run more than them all because of the grace given me by God. So there's a measure of grace that's given. But I also believe this, and this is where we get encouraged, gang. That is this. I believe God can increase the grace and the measure in us so we can produce more as well. But we need to ask him. You know, if he says no, he says no. But I'm going to the Lord. I'm saying, God, produce in me a greater harvest. I want to produce more fruit. And God will be faithful to do that if we ask him to do it. Now, this is the biggest part of this verse to me when it comes to the believer and this fourth category. And that is this, the language also speaks here, it literally means in the language a continuing and growing fruit. There'll be a fruit, but it comes with the idea of it'll be a continuing and growing. Now, why is that important? Because I can remember as an early believer, you know, man, I was going for it. Remember when you first got saved? You're bouncing off the walls, nobody can shut you up, and you don't want to be shut up, and you're reading the word all the time, and you're praying all the time, and everything's, you know, you're just really into it, going for it, but over time, we begin to kind of slow down sometimes, don't we? I know a lot of that comes with maturity, and we find different ways to carry ourselves. I mean, we can be a little bit obnoxious as a baby Christian sometimes. But at the same time, have we lost the fire? Is the fire disappearing? Are we continuing to grow fruit? And this is the one that really challenges me, guys. Listen, challenging. And I want to have you challenge yourself this morning. Is there fruit continuing to grow, or is it only, wow, what God did back then? When you think about your life with the Lord, what is it right now? Boy, back then, I really, you know, whatever, was really into worship or was really into the Bible. Or back then, I was really, oh, and remember that time we all gathered? Oh, yes, and that kinship. And oh, remember that? Oh, yeah. Memories are great. But if it stops there, guys, we're missing the boat. What about today? Let me ask you this. Is the Spirit moving in your life today? Do you feel the power of God? Is God teaching you in His Word? Are you receiving it? Are you responding to it? Where's the freshness now? And my prayer when I go to the Lord is, God, make it fresh right now. I want you to move in my life. I don't want to live in yesterday. I don't want to just have fruit at the beginning. I want to have fruit and greater fruit as I grow, and at the end, still be producing fruit. You know, I sometimes think about growing old. You know, I think, wow, what when I get really, really old? You know, what am I going to do? And maybe I won't live that long. I don't know. But Lord, will I still be able to serve you? God promises in His Word that even in our old age, we will be fruitful if we will truly allow God to work in our life. There's a promise of the Lord. We may not be as physically active or that kind of stuff, but we can be greatly fruitful. And so this is a great concern that I have for myself, and I think that we need to be careful of. But the last thing I want to point out today in this particular passage, and please don't take this as flippant. I want to say this as serious as I can without it being flippant, because it is truly exactly how soil is strengthened, how soil grows, and what makes soil produce its greatest measure. And that is this. When you really want soil to be fresh and strong, especially over time, as it must be fertilized. And fertilizer, a lot of times, without me going into detail, can be very stinky. Now, what is my point in that? Listen. Guys, there may be some really stinky things happening in your life right now. You might be saying, Lord, my life stinks. This is awful. Everything. I mean, people all over the place. Everybody hates me, you know, and that's just in my house. You know, it's worse outside my doors. You know, the dog kicked me the other day. I mean, things are bad right now. You know what? It's a little bit stinky, but God may be saying, you know what? I'm working the soil. I'm working in the soil right now, something that's going to make you more fertile and make you produce more fruit. You know, there's two things God does. He works the soil. And He also prunes us. I hate both, but I love both. It's a love-hate relationship. Because when things get really, really bad, I know that God's working in and working the soil, and I know there's going to be more fruit. And so I don't like it, but I know there's going to be an end result somewhere down the road that's going to be good. And with pruning, isn't pruning an amazing thing? What I find interesting about pruning is that trees will grow and will produce fruit. And you'll have fruit on the lower branches down there, and the farmer will come along and chop those lower branches off. And I can imagine if a tree could speak, it'd be like, ow, you know, how would you like it if I cut something of yours off? And hey, that had fruit on it. Do you see the apples? You ever had that happen in your life? Things are growing and you're like, hey, there's fruit here. I see green. And look, somebody, ooh, I ministered to somebody. They got some fruit. This is good. The tree's growing. And all of a sudden, kapoom, that ministry stops like that. God just removes the spirit from it. Everything goes dead. You're like, what happened? Why was it so flowing, Lord? Why? Did I do something wrong? What's going on? No, you don't do anything wrong. I'm pruning. But Lord, that branch, it had fruit on it. Yeah, I know it did, but you don't understand. If I allow the lower branches that are producing fruit to block off the stream from going up, you'll never grow higher. You'll never reach the heights. You'll never branch out the way I want you to branch out. So I'm getting rid of the little guys. It's interesting, those of you that work with tomatoes, and maybe this is just a southern term, I don't know, I'll show you my ignorance, but apparently at the bottom of tomato stems, they have what they call suckers. They're these little green things that grow out, and they suck the juices from the ground as the tomato is trying to pull up the juices to grow and produce larger tomatoes and more fruit. These little suckers, so to speak, stop it. And so you go and you cut those suckers off, you know, and you get rid of them. And then what it allows is, it allows that fresh flow and that stream to go up, and you have the nicer, bigger tomatoes. See, that is exactly what God wants to do with pruning. He cuts off areas sometimes that He used to use us in temporarily because He's going to use us in a greater way in some measure down the road. And God allows the stinky things, so to speak, to come in, you know, in our life that we don't like. But God says, you know what? There's going to be a fresh harvest from that. That's going to bring about the best fruit you can have. Somebody told me a story about two men that were watching a truck pull up and it had a bunch of, you know, manure in it. They were taking for fertilizer. And one of the guys stood there and said, yep, back where I'm from, we put that on strawberries. The other guy said, well, I don't know where you come from, but where I come from, we put sugar on them. But anyway, couldn't resist that, sorry. But here's the key in that. There is a point to that dumb joke. And that is this. When the ground is fertilized, even sometimes with stinky things, the fruit is that much sweeter and better. And so guys, I don't know what's going on in your life this morning, but God is going to mold you and shape you. And if you're a believer and you're going through these hard times right now, trust that God is working the soil, that God is doing the work, and God is going to produce even more fruit in the end. Now, here's the question I leave us with today. That is, which type of soil am I? Which type of soil are you? We need to examine ourselves this morning. Are you the type of soil that right now you're hardened by the wayside? You're already ignoring everything I've said. You don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. When I tell you that the Bible says that we're all separated from God by sin, that's what the Bible says. And there's no way to get reconnected to God without Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. You can't do it. When I say that, you're saying, I don't believe that. Don't give that one way. That is so narrow-minded, okay? Now you've identified at least, let's honestly say, what type of soil you are. You're hardened. You're by the wayside. The seed cannot penetrate. Or what if you're the type that you're excited? Man, this is great. I love this today, and this is exciting, and I want to receive the Lord right now. I want to receive him. But you know what? As soon as you're worried about what your friends are going to think. What if my friends think I'm some kind of freakazoid? They're going to think I'm some kind of, you know, like whatever it is, you know, and they're going to just a fanatic or whatever. And so you begin to find yourself hesitating. You may be that second type of soil that, you know, when things get hot, you're going to walk away. What about the third type of soil? And again, there's a lot of rocky things in that as well. But what about the third type of soil this morning where, you know what, you want the things of God. This excites you. But you know what? You really just all your life, you dreamed of being a millionaire. Or you dreamed of having this or having that. And if I really kind of get away from all the effort I'm putting into getting what I want out of the world to go after things of God, then I'm not going to ever get those things in the world. And so I'm torn. I want this, but I want that. And you're having weeds that are choking you out this morning. And you've got to make up your mind, I'm going to cut those weeds off if you ever want to come to Christ and be fruitful for the things of God. And then if you're the last one, that last person, then you can say, all right, you know what's going to happen? You're going to hear this seed. It's going to produce some 30, some 60, some 100-fold in your life. And there's going to be, I love that about seed. You just plant it and it does its job if the soil is good. So our prayer this morning is, and I want to leave us with this prayer, is God, give me the kind of soil I need. See, maybe you're thinking, all right, great. You just said, you know, what about the people that are the 25% that have the right kind of soil? I'm one of the other 75%. I've got hardened, or I've got rocky and shallow, or I've got, you know, those that are choked out by weeds. What do I do? Here's the good news. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Isn't that great? You see, what he's saying is, God will remake your heart this morning. And here's all God's asking. Okay, you've identified your heart. Everybody's got their heart. You've identified it, hopefully. When we pray, I want you to take that heart and scoot it up to the altar and say, Lord, here it is. This is what I've got. I can't change it. I want you to change it so that when the seeds are planted, they can get in and they can get in and produce fruit, and the fruit will be lasting, continuing, and growing. And let's ask the Lord to do that right now. Let's pray. Lord, our desire this morning is to have a heart that comes from that fourth category. A heart, Lord, that is receptive, a heart that is good soil, that is rich, Lord, that is turned under and churned. And when the seeds are planted, Lord, it can take root and bear lasting fruit. But Lord, not all of us have that heart this morning. And I pray right now for those that have identified they have a hardened heart. And Lord, even right now, they're already beginning to ignore this. They're beginning to throw away what they've been told. They're beginning to, maybe in their heart, hear the enemy mock it and say, you don't really believe this, do you? Lord, I pray that right now you'd soften their heart. That they would be honest with you, at least honest enough to say, my heart is hard and I think this is a bunch of baloney. But God, right now, let them acknowledge that. And I pray that by your grace, as they acknowledge that, you would soften their heart so they could receive the seed planted this morning. And God, I pray for those right now that may be very excited about the things of you, Lord, and walking with you. But at the same time, they're so concerned about what everybody will think and will they be accepted and will they be liked. God, I pray you'd help them just to step out in faith and that you would give them a depth to their soil that when the heat comes, Lord, they'll make it. Father, I pray for the third category this morning, those that, Lord, they do want you. They've received your word. They believe in you. Maybe they were raised in church, all these things, and they want you, Lord, but there's so many sparklies out there, and it's so fun to have a lot of those sparklies. And Lord, it's choking out their fruitfulness. Fellowship is something that they just occasionally want to go to now, and the word of God is whenever, and prayer, well, maybe at meals, but God, they desire it, but they've just been choked. It's gone. I ask God you would just weed those gardens, yank those weeds out, God, refresh them right now by your spirit and pouring out your rain on them. And Father, those this morning that have that fertile soil, Lord, some that are already believers, I ask you just continue to encourage. But right now, God, is maybe their life is really going through a hard time. Lord, a very, very stinky time, so to speak. And they're wondering what's going on and why is God allowing me to go through all this toughness? Lord, maybe you're just fertilizing the soil and you're working the ground. I pray you would encourage them and strengthen them in the midst of that. And God, for those this morning that have fertile soil to receive your word but have not yet received you, I pray that right now, Lord, you would draw them in. And if you want to receive Christ this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have soil in your heart that's ready to receive right now, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I believe that you died for my sin on that cross 2,000 years ago. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I lay them at the foot of your cross. Wash them away with your blood. And I receive you right now as my Lord and as my Savior. I am yours, and I give all I have to you. In Jesus' name, amen.